How are we all doing today? Who's glad they're here today? Who's been touched already by the Lord? Raise your hand. Come on. I believe that's every hand, even if you're not aware of it. Man, his presence is so strong. You'll catch up in a little bit. He'll help you. I'm excited for today. I'm just going to dive into the topic today. I will be speaking on working smarter, not harder, God's way. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to be preaching on working smarter, not harder, God's way. How many think that sounds pretty good? Who wants some of that, right? In light of that, though, I want to start off, and man, if there was ever a part of this sermon you want to take notes, it's right now, because I'm going to have just a couple words of wisdom right out the front, you know. So again, if you have notes, this is probably a critical time. So some really good wisdom here. Some people say hard work never killed anyone. True, but why take the risk? Again, take notes. These are very critical points in my sermon. I used to think multitasking meant I was being efficient until I realized I was just being distracted in several ways at once. Write that down. You might want to reference that. If at first you don't succeed, try doing it the smart way your wife suggested the first time. I knew that would get some cheers. I got a big one over here. I was like a cheerleader jumping up. Lord, I pray for them in Jesus' name. Breakthrough ministry. No, I'm just joking. They say God helps those who help themselves, but sometimes he's just waiting for us to stop helping ourselves the wrong way. That's pretty good. That's good wisdom. I tried to work smarter once. Turns out napping at my desk wasn't what the boss had in mind. Pastor Jamie's running executive things. Don't pull that one here. I know that, staff. Some people burn the candle at both ends. I'm just trying to find the light switch. And one more. Again, these are important. I hope you're writing them down. So, they told me to think outside the box. I said, sure, but can I do it from my couch? This morning, I kind of want to just start out with some declarations of what I believe the Lord wants to do. Not just at the end and prayer time or altar time or later today, but even as I am speaking. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak through me. Because greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. Greater is he that is in me than me, right? But even as we're singing about chains coming off and just oppression coming off. I mean, that word wasn't sung, but that's what I kept hearing and feeling like. God really wants to lift any form of oppression here today. And as I went into the prayer room this morning, the team was just in unity. I saw like a spectrum. So doctors talk about a spectrum with certain mental illnesses or different diseases. And it's like I saw a spectrum of oppression. You know, we can be oppressed in our mind. We can be oppressed with our viewpoint. We can be oppressed in various ways. And I saw like a multicolored love of God. And he's like, I have something for every form of oppression today. The whole spectrum. And you might be here today going, I'm doing pretty good. If you're 1% oppressed, that's not his will for you. And again, you may be saying, oh, is this going to be a deliverance service? Well, yes and no. I'm not just talking oppression of the demonic. Sin in every form is an oppression. Because you were created for righteousness and holiness. Being tied with the world in any form is a form of oppression. And then obviously, any form of direct partnership with the enemy is oppression. And I felt like the Lord says, oppression is never my will for my people. Once they're saved, total freedom is their portion. Totally loved is their portion. Not after 67 years, although some of us are a little slow, it takes a while. But he paid a high price for your total freedom in his love. So even as I'm speaking today, and you know there'll be stories and scriptures and all that, I want you to be open, because oppression, sometimes it's violent and crazy, but most of the time it's subtle, and it might be just a gust of the Spirit. But all of a sudden you'll become aware, I think something just lifted off, praise God. Some of the greatest deliverance experiences I've had over the years, I could have missed, but I know it was God. Amen? He's gentle with us today. And this verse just was on my heart, Isaiah 10:27. It's often quoted, but often people don't know where it is, and that's okay if you don't know where it is. But it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Woo, come on. It can be interpreted the anointing or anointed one, but ultimately any form of anointing oil in the Old Testament, Jesus is the anointed one. So he's the one that this is prophesying about. How many are glad that Jesus breaks yokes? So today, if you have 1% oppression, he wants to set you free. If you have 100% or somewhere in between, he wants to set you free. Same God, same love, same authority. It doesn't matter. I'm going to pray. Jesus, I know you are here. I know your presence is here. And Lord, I just pray for the sake of the edification and the encouragement and the freedom of every person here, that you would keep me in your anointing. Not for my sake, for everyone else's sake, Lord. I can't do that, but you can do that. And Lord, I pray for every person here. I believe you have something for every person, that you want to reveal yourself to every person. And God, my prayer, my declaration, Lord, my desire, and I believe it's your desire, is that no sheep, no child will be left behind. Because you leave the 99 for the one. So that tells me you care about every person from balcony to the altar. Even those not in this room, Lord, your anointing can reach them in children's, in the gym, wherever they're at, in the bathroom. So Lord, we pray your anointing, Lord, not my words or preparedness, but your anointing to break yokes today and set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. We all have a lot going on in our lives. Do you agree? We have full lives. I personally have 4 kids, ranging from 18 to 4, soon to be 5, my youngest, Ari. I have a beautiful wife, I'm married, and I'm a full-time pastor. So life can get full. Anyone else have a full life today? Lots of kids, lots going on. You know, and sometimes it's hard to find that life-work balance. It's something I think a lot of us try to find, is that life-work balance. But sometimes it just seems like something you're chasing and never really reach. You know, and I think this is a particular friction in our modern day life, right? We're busy as Westerners. We're busy here in America. We got a lot going on. We like to have many irons in the fire. Did I say that right? Many irons in the fire. And it's good to be productive. It's good to be fruitful. It's good to get things done. Things need done. When I do a job, sometimes, depending on the job, I've always been this way. If it's a big project, I find myself fully, at times, immersed in it. Can anyone relate? Certain things, not everything I do, like here at the church, I'm like fully immersed, but a lot of it, I just kind of, you know? And my wife, over the years, has had to gently remind me of that life-work balance. She's done a good job of that. She's done a really good job of that. How many men have an amazing coach as a wife? Whew. I know. She doesn't want me talking too much. She'll blush too much and have to use the bathroom. But you're beautiful. You're amazing. I love you so much. The last sermon I gave a month ago, my time was limited more than normal. I just had a lot going on. family-wise, but also as a pastor. And I kind of got in fixation mode at times. Anyone know fixation? You lock in? How many know sometimes when you get in fixation, you're not always in the right attitude? Or at least your attitude can get weak, right? I was in project mode. I was in gotta focus. You know, lock-in mode. Men, women too, but I know men, we lock in, right? You know, and that happens even as a pastor, you know? I've had different jobs, salesman at Verizon for years, fundraiser in Portland for years, but it's still the same mode. It's not like when I became a pastor that necessarily went away. I'm just doing different things with that mode. So I'm wrestling with getting my sermon done, and I have a particular way I've kind of found a groove a couple years ago that I do it. This is my way of doing it. And for the last year, I take all Thursday. Praise God, I get to take all Thursday for that. But sometimes that spills into Friday and Saturday and even Sunday morning. And this week I had several things going on, and sometime on Saturday, so I'm at the 11th hour, and I'm pretty fixated, locked in. So a little bit of lack crept in. I don't know if you've been there before. When you're focused on a project and the pressure of it, you can sometimes feel a little bit of lack. Not enough time, not enough energy, not enough words, not enough thoughts. And my wife came up to me, and it probably wasn't the best timing, but men, you know how our wives say things, and we're not necessarily ready to receive it in the moment. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? Preach it, right? Yeah. So here we go. Here's what she said. Wonderful words. She said, "Honey, I think the way you go about preparing for sermons is not the most efficient." Men love that, right, men in the room? Woo! You might get thrown under the bus a little, but ultimately it's me who's under the bus. And this is what she said. "I see you spinning your wheels, and I think it is completely unnecessary and could be done with more ease." Woo! Yay! Yeah, I'm inspired! No. I'm like, really? Now? Deep down inside, I knew the Lord had ease for me, because I've experienced that in so many areas of my life. But at that point, I didn't know how to access it when she said that. Pressures of the schedule, pressures even with my family, because I'm like, okay, I can't neglect my family, right? You know? And how do you access that level of peace, that level of efficiency and ease? We're still called to do things. We're still called to do the stuff. John Wimber said that a lot. We got to do the stuff. But how we do it is critical. Because he doesn't want 1% oppression. He doesn't want 1% flesh. He doesn't want 1% worldly. He doesn't want 1% pressure that's not from him. Now, we go through the pressure of testing and trials, and that the Lord tests us, but that's different than worldly, sinful pressure. She's telling me Saturday, and I'm like, this is a little late. I would have loved this a couple days ago, like on a Tuesday or a Monday. You're telling me at the 11th hour. Thank you, honey, I love you. I don't know if you can relate with this. You're going about something, a relationship, situation, a project, ministry, and in some way it's stunted, inefficient, restricted, oppressed, you know, maybe outright just oppressive. And then the reality of that is made clear by a spouse, a boss, a coworker, a pastor, or even yourself. You are in the grind of getting it done, and you're unable to see the task from a different perspective. How many have you, let's be honest here today, right? There's a culture of safety here. Pastor Renee was talking about love. But in a culture of love, we can be honest, amen? We don't have to hide our faults. But how many of you have said, no, you're in the middle of something and you know it's probably not right, but you say, this is my way of getting it done. This is just how I do it. And this self-justification can creep in. This is the way I've always done it. This has been my process. Honey, you know. Babe, you know. I get a little intense. I have to lock in. And you spin your wheels longer than you needed to, or with a pressure. Maybe the time didn't increase. A lot of times it does, though, and it gets harder and longer. You know, someone outside of your problem, they come up with an idea that's way outside the box, and often our knee-jerk reaction might be to get defensive, right? When something's pointed out that you could be doing it, maybe it's the spirit on it, maybe you're just lacking efficiency. It's a very physical thing, right? I think it can rub our egos when things are pointed out to us. But I think if we're going to change, we need to be open to correction. Now, this isn't a pleasant topic, but I think it's critical. It's throughout the whole Bible. Correction. If our Father did not correct us directly or through others, we would be illegitimate children, says the Bible. So if you have received correction, even if you didn't receive it, that's a confirmation you're a legitimate son of God. Let the correction that you know is from the Lord, even if you're resisting it, be an opportunity to celebrate your sonship and that you're loved. I had a busy weekend. I was pressurized. I have my method. I have my constraints. I want to do it my way. I want us to turn to Matthew, a very familiar passage, but I'm going to challenge us to hear it in a way maybe we've never heard it. Because in the last couple months and even recently, I feel like I have, even this weekend as my wife and I were fellowshipping and just talking about this sermon today, I felt like I got brand new eyes mid-conversation. And you guys know the passage, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls. It's on mugs, it's on calendars, it's in devotionals like crazy. It's a good verse, I love it. But I think sometimes it gets watered down because we don't read it in context. And we just need to go a few verses before. So I want you to hear this anew in context. Let's go to Matthew 11:25 in the New King James Version. Everything will be New King James Version today to make it easy for you. How many are thankful for this beautiful screen, by the way? Isn't that beautiful? We are so blessed. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. And just stop right there, Jason. Again, this is right before the come to me passage. Okay, we all know that rest passage. I bet most of you could quote it by heart. Jesus has just done miracles in three different cities, and he's been rejected. They've rejected him. They've rejected the gospel. And there's a lesson here. It's not my main point, but I love this. Jesus' first response after being rejected in three cities is to give thanks. I mean, that's a whole sermon right there. That's a whole lesson for us right there. He's just been rejected. Three cities. Miracles happen. And he said, man, like, Sodom, you know, other places would repent. So he's now, that's happened, and he says, at that time, and it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Son-Father relationship, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. The context here is wisdom. What does it mean to live a life of wisdom? And when he says the wise and prudent, His audience, a lot of them would have been Pharisees, but it would just be anyone who thinks they have it figured out. Again, there's three different cities that just rejected him, his miracles. Why? Pride. I see things a different way. Those weren't legitimate miracles. You need to be a political leader. Whatever their fixations and their belief system was, he says, Lord, I thank you. You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and the prudent, wise and the prudent. But you have revealed them to who? Babes, little one, infants, different translations. But you've revealed them to the implication is little children. But you've revealed them to little children. The flesh is offended by this. And I believe his audience would have been offended by this. Jesus never offended the heart. But he's fine if what he says puts to death to your flesh. Right? So what was hidden from them? The mystery of the kingdom, the wisdom of God standing before them in Jesus Christ. The Father. Let's go to verse 26 and 27. Even so, Father, for it's so it seemed good in your sight. And next verse. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Babes, not the wise and the prudent, not those who have it figured out, who are set in how they do things, how they see things, their manner of going about things, their manner of perception. You see, the babes are humble, teachable, dependent, correctable. And that's the context by which we go into verse 28, 29, 30. Let's go into 20. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Can I tell you, I believe he was addressing those prideful, wise, and prudent. He's not just like only the babes are going to get it, only the dependent and the humble. But he was pleading with them, and he's pleading with us in any area we're resistant to the Spirit of God. So hear this today. This may be hard, some of the things I've shared or will be sharing, but Jesus comes full in love. And if he wasn't loving, he wouldn't come to us in the areas where wise and prudent, prideful, self-sufficient, I always do it this way, where we tolerate forms of pride and oppression. Okay? Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many love the heart of Jesus? How many love the heart of Jesus this morning? Amen. It says gentle. The word is meek, is a more accurate word. What does the word meek mean? Don't think pushover. If you think pushover, you're seeing it wrong. Meek is all the strength in the world, yet I'm going to restrain it for love. That's what biblical meekness is. I have all the power and strength at my disposal, yet I'm not going to be forceful. I'm not going to be harsh. I'm going to be gentle for love's sake. He could have blasted those three cities. He could have sent fire down. Did he not have access to that? He even said later, couldn't I call 10,000 angels down? So even though he suspended, put on the shelf, relinquished his deity, he could have pulled on it. We know that from the angels. But he's meek. How many are thankful he's been meek with you this morning? Ooh. Take my yoke upon me. And you may have heard this before, but hear it afresh, because I believe it's an invitation to all of us. Whatever we're encountering, I believe Jesus often comes to me, to us, and says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Picture oxen. You have a younger oxen who doesn't know which way to go, maybe a little unruly, and needs to be broken in. I don't know if that's the right word, steered. And the wooden beam goes on the experienced, disciplined oxen, and then the other part goes on the young, we'll call it the babe oxen, right? And when that babe wants to go in its own way, The older, stronger oxen, right? The way that the oxen set up, it can steer the younger one. So even within that image is the concept of correction. Jesus is saying, I have a light yoke. Come to me and be corrected. Come to me and learn. All true learning has instruction and correction. Now, I know this isn't a word we want to hear. It's like, come to me, be corrected. But how many know we can't experience the rest in his love, the fruitfulness, unless we're open to correction? I'm going to say it again. How many know we can't experience the rest and love and freedom he has, the intimacy he has, if we're not correctable? Whew. By the end of today, some of you are going to be loving correction. Not the correction itself, but the freedom it brings when we accept it. Come on. Yeah, we can get amen to that. Woo. Okay. Do you have any form, 1%, 1% of 1% oppression today? Jesus doesn't want that for you. He wants to, our whole life's journey, I believe, you could sum it up this way. Every area of our life he wants sanctified, and he's coming with meekness and humility and saying, come to me, take my yoke upon you. I know you don't have this figured out, and when you practice for a sermon, you get overpressurized, and sometimes you're not the nicest, and you don't spend the time you need with your kids, but I can change this. You've tried on your own. Has it worked? No. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. And in every, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Every area you're oppressed and you're not changing, you need to come to Jesus and let him put his yoke upon you and be correctable and humble yourself. If you do, he can expedite your transformation in a day, in a week. And that's the wisdom of God. Or you can go decades with the same, but I gotta get fixated when I practice for my sermon. But when I do business deals, I raise my voice. Sometimes I know it's not the best, but you got to put a little pressure on people. I know I shouldn't raise my voice and scream at my kids, but they deserve it. That's the only way they're going to get it. Come on, that's convicting. But because we don't want to face it, there could be shame there he wants to remove. We keep in the same sin pattern. Right? Jesus has a yoke for every area you're oppressed and you're still not sanctified. Jesus' name, Jesus Christ, Jesus, he who saves, he who sozos everything. He paid a high price. He doesn't want you just with a ticket to heaven. Better yet, ticket, baptized, but do nothing and not be transformed. He paid a high price for total sanctification. A bride that's equally yoked. So if you came in today with 1% of 1% oppression, that matters to him. Even if it's feather light, even if you got a feather of oppression, he's like, not for my bride, not for my son, not for my daughter. I have total freedom, total sanctification. Totally loved. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy and convicted. I'm actually preaching myself convicted. Lord, I'm thinking of areas. I'm thinking of areas. Freshly, literally. Be open to the Spirit. I'm hearing stuff that's contrary to what I'm saying. I might just need to get on my knees and you guys, someone else close the service. And I have my time at the cross. And I'll just say that in truth, I have areas beyond what I'm talking about where there's oppression in my life still. And you're like, Pastor Matthew, you look so free and joyful. If it's 1% of 1%, it's oppression. If it's not total freedom, Pastor Christy last week, complete joy, then it's not his will. And you're like, that's too high of a standard. It's not my standard, it's his standard. That's too high of a, are you being perfectionism? No, we need to get over perfectionism so he can perfect us. I'm not preaching perfectionism. I'm preaching his love wants to perfect you, because perfect love casts out fear. And fear has to do with punishment or torment, or you could say oppression. His will is that you would have 0% oppression, 100% freedom in his love. That's his standard. But praise God, his grace can get us there. And in fact, as far as he's concerned, through the cross, he already got you there. We just need to catch up. We believe in the finished works here. Finished works doesn't mean he did it all, so I'm going to live how I want. Yeah, right. Paul gets at this. No. He set me fully free, and now by his grace, as I yield to him, he's going to make every area line up with his cross. When we go into deliverance and breakthrough and inner healing, we don't go in going, God, do a work. Do a fresh work. Do something you didn't already pay for at the cross. We go in going, it's paid for. There's authority in the name. The blood has cleansed everything. As far as God's concerned, they died with them in Christ. Now we come with the authority of Christ and say, line up with the cross in Jesus' name. And I feel like I feel the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to begin to speak into areas of your life and say, line up with the cross in Jesus' name. Line up with the cross in Jesus' name. Wait a minute, I'm not speaking right here. I'm gossiping 1%. Line up with the cross in Jesus' name. By your grace. I'm not speaking effort, I'm not speaking legalism. If that's your problem, he wants that to line up with the cross. All the glory of the flesh fades, but Jesus is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is to be glorified, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. So when he appears, I appear with him in glory. What am I saying here? Your flesh that's not yielded to Christ will burn up in the end. I'm not saying he's burning up your body. Don't hear that. But 1 Corinthians 3, there's several passages in the New Testament. Whatever is stubble, whatever is like built of cheap material, flesh, me, is going to burn up. I want that to burn up before I'm raptured or he comes. How many want that burned up now? So you can rejoice on that day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't even know where I'm at, but he does. And can I say this in a very, let me just say this. The wise and prudent, and there's other passages to support this. Remember he says like, there's something to age. And I have four kids, and do you know who's the most correctable? My four-year-old or up to my 18? Who's the most correctable? My four-year-old, the babe, the infant. She's not an infant anymore. The babe. Ariana, you didn't wash your hands. Sorry, Dad. What do you mean I didn't wash my hands? What are you saying about me? Are you saying I'm sloppy? Are you saying, like, Dad, you've told me that so many times. You would never hear Ariana. So you don't even know how to talk that way. It's time we become babes. I don't find as I'm growing up, I'm growing old in the Lord. I'm growing young. I want to grow young. I want to have baby skin on the day he comes. I don't want iron chainmail. I want to be baby skin. I can't do that, but he can. Remember Naaman? The leper outside of Israel dips into Jordan 7 times. And the 7th time, he got healed of his leprosy. And it says his skin was like baby skin. That's what I want. I want baby skin. Oh, Daddy, I did something wrong. I'm sorry. And I move on. Not putting up that wise and prudent front. Whew, it's getting warm up here. I do have a sweater, but I feel the Holy Ghost as well. I don't know why I just did that. I think it's the first time I've done that. Lord help me. Yeah. I really need to focus because I might slip on over. You know what I mean? It's been a couple moments this morning. I was during the declaration, which it's a good one, but the Holy Spirit, I almost, whoo. But Lord, as Paul prayed, keep me together for their sake. Rest. Rest. We read rest as slumber. I'm going to take a vacation. Nothing against vacations. I praise God. They had rest there. But I believe the rest he's talking about, if you look biblically, is Israel was to have rest from all their enemies. From all oppression of the soul, from all oppression politically, from all oppression war-wise. That's the Old Testament. But now we know in the New Testament we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, right? So God wants a rest from every form of oppression. That's, I believe, the rest he's talking. Now, I feel a little refreshment. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that. Yes, that's part of it. He wants you to feel refreshed. But we limit this passage to refreshment. I want more than refreshment and a nice breeze. I want total freedom. I want every area given over to Jesus so I can know him in that area. I can know you when I'm prepping for a sermon. I can know you when I'm correcting my children. I can know you when I'm mowing the lawn. I can know you when the pressure's on in the circumstance. I'm not saying I'm there, but we press on, right? Towards the goal. Ooh, help me, help me. Ooh. Okay, this whole passage starts out with, I thank you that you've hidden this from the wise. Even though Jesus doesn't say that word after this, I hear it now over the text. Now you're like, are you adding? Well, no, because he does say wise right here. But the Holy Spirit, how many know, can give revelation? And you know, and he'll confirm it beyond you, right? But what I hear now over this text that I've never heard my whole life, and I've heard this since I was a little boy, is wisdom. Verse 25 through 30, this whole passage, Jesus is revealing what wisdom looks like. The Jews have a saying that's not in the Bible, but it's a collective thing of the Jews over the thousands of years. It's that, raise your hand if you heard this, wisdom is in the room. Has anyone heard that phrase, wisdom is in the room? Okay. I will not go off on this. I'll keep this brief, but it's pretty profound. If two Jewish people were fellowshipping pre-Christ, they might say, wisdom's in the room. Wisdom in Proverbs 8 is personified. So if you read all of 8, now I believe that was foreshadowing Christ or even looking back as Christ. But the idea is that wisdom is connected with presence. Wisdom is connected with the presence of God. Isaiah 11 says the spirit of wisdom. You could say the presence of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the presence of wisdom if we're willing to yield to the wisdom of God. So it's not like wisdom is in a book, wisdom's from gray hair, Holy Spirit presence here. Wisdom, Holy Spirit. And I forget who it is in Acts 6 is described. I think it's Stephen, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. How many want to be full of wisdom? If the Holy Spirit's in you, wisdom's in the room. Kind of funny story with this. I'm going to throw myself under the bus here, but it's kind of funny. It made me laugh. You know, in the last couple weeks, I've had just these times, even though more and more, like, God is so much grace. I don't believe she's here today, but Brianna Roberts has been helping me. I've already said this from the pulpit, but there's kind of the story is progressing here. And, you know, she's helping me with emails and communications and all this. And I've had two times at least, I wish Pastor Jamie was here because he'd laugh, where I share the office with Pastor Rich, and I get to a point where I don't know how I'm going to accomplish something. I walk right past Brianna, and I walk over to Jamie. I said, Pastor Jamie, I'm feeling like this is too much this week, and I'm not sure I'm going to get this done. And genius, wise, Pastor Jamie goes, maybe you should have Brianna do that. And I go, you're a genius. And I walk past. Hey, Brianna, would you consider making these calls? I would love to. Oh, my goodness, that was easy. And she gets it done and knocks it out of the park. I'm throwing myself under the bus, but this is a parable here. Listen. 2 weeks later, I get in the same conundrum that I have things, and I don't know how to get them done. So I walk through there, and I like to walk through here because I'm focused, right? And I want to run into people. So I'm Pastor Jamie. I'm going to Pastor Jamie's office. Pretend this is his door. I have this thing, and I don't know how because I have that event, and then I'm preaching, and then there's this. And I say, Pastor Jamie, what do I do? He says, have you thought of asking Brianna to do it? You're a genius. And I walk back into my room, and I ask Brianna, and she just starts on it, and it gets done. What's my point? Here's the point. The solution of God for your oppression and problem is in the room already. Because Jesus, who's called the wisdom of God, lives in you. Pastor Christy ended with this last week. There's a solution to every problem. She says, if we lack wisdom, remember James, we're not going to go there. But James says, ask for it, and he gives liberally. I am learning this, guys. I feel like I've been stunted in this. I'm going to be real. And I've lived in so much lack. Now, I've had a lot of understanding and revelation, but I didn't know how accessible the wisdom of God was till this last year. I'm being real. I've had small measure of wisdom. This last year, it's like the floodgates, and I'm slow to catch up. That there's always a solution, that the wisdom of God is in the room, so I don't need to go flesh. I don't need to get pressurized. I don't need to go fleshly and try to solve it on my own, mental energy on my own. Does this relate with anyone? The good news is he doesn't just remove oppression. He comes with his presence, the spirit of wisdom. So this is relational through and through. And wisdom's in the room. Wisdom's in the room. It's right here. It's in you. It's around you. It's God saying, I have solutions for your heavy weights. I can lift that heavy bar off your back and release grace you didn't know was there through my wisdom. Finance, health. I'll share this story. I've struggled with sleep for years. And I've asked for healing time and time again, and it's not gotten healed. I've had little doubts of it, and I'm like, oh, maybe their prayers were answered. I've slept good 2 nights in a row. And just in the last 2 or 3 years, it's gotten really bad. Really bad. I'm an energetic person, but I still, like, 3 or 4 energy crashes. I go get my blood tested. 4 levels are off. He's like, we might need to get you on blood pressure medication. Oh, no, 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 no. And I'm like, oh, great. But I do something when I don't even know how to pray, called praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:7. So when you speak in tongues, no, it says, when we speak a mystery, we speak hidden wisdom, hidden in a mystery. I don't want to re-preach Pastor Jamie's sermon. Go listen to it. It's phenomenal. So go back and listen to it. I'll just say one thing. This is something the Lord showed me. Every time you speak in tongues, you are speaking the wisdom of God. How do I know that? Paul believed you read his book in its entirety. 1 Corinthians 2:7, he's saying, we speak the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. 1 Corinthians 14:2, you speak to God mysteries. You just connect the two. And I wake up at 12 or 1, and I hear, sleep apnea, moderate case. Go back to the doctor. Wisdom has an action. See, God's wisdom isn't just good ideas or graybeard advice. It comes with an action that's going to release his grace and is going to lift whatever's tempting you to get oppressed. I go back to the doc. Oh, no. First, he said, take everything, your blood test, throw it in ChatGPT, and it'll confirm what I said. I said, ChatGPT, here are my blood results. Does this have anything to do with sleep apnea? And it goes, bingo! Yes, 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 yes. I went back to my doctor, and I said, I loaded with knowledge, and I said, hey, doctor, the fact that this blood level's down, blah, 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 couldn't be because, and I'm acting like I'm a doctor, couldn't it be because of the blah, 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 and I don't even know what I said, but I just regurgitated it. And he's like, you're right. That's scary. AI is getting better than a guy who did 15 years of school. That's, do not get sidetracked with that. But so he got me on the sleep study. I have a sleep CPAP, whatever it's called. I'm sleeping great. That was the wisdom of God, so I wouldn't be oppressed. I'll be honest, there was nights I get frustrated, and I started, you know, where's Principal Leah? You know how we talk about sometimes it's okay when you have aggression to punch things, and I found myself like punching the couch, like, I'm so tired, I wanna go to bed. And I got fleshly, I got oppressed. But God had wisdom. God had wisdom. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I never thought I'd say this, but you know those old school preachers that have the rag? Oh, come on now, hallelujah, and they'd have the rag. I'm tempted to actually go there today, if any of you have a rag, because I'm sweating up here, hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Woo! About to get Pentecostal in here. No, I won't go there. Refrain. Know your context. Know your context. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I believe in some ways, even though it's like, how does this relate? It relates. I believe this is a related passage. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means take heed, be aware from the physical to the spiritual. That's what that word means. Not as fools. Everyone say, not as a fool. Say, I'm not a fool. I'm a wise son or daughter. Say that to your neighbor. Okay, let's go to verse 16. Why do we need wisdom? Because we need to start redeeming time. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. He steals our health, we know that. He steals our intimacy with the Lord, we know that. We often overlook, he steals time. He wants wasted time, oppressive time. Too much time on a sermon. You're nitpicking. If there's mild form of oppression, that's not his will. I'm going there. I'm not even going to ask. I'm going there, right? Why do we need to redeem time and live in the wisdom of God and be yoked and learn of Jesus? Because the days are evil. And the enemy, it says, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And after he tempted Jesus in the garden, it says he waited till an opportune time. He is looking for a time of stealing time and oppressing you. The Lord is looking to buy back time, fruitfulness, eternal intimacy, rippling effects that go into eternity for you, your children, those around you. Amen? Amen. Who wants the wisdom of God to redeem time? I'm getting fiery because he's stolen a lot of moments in my life. And I've willingly partnered with that. I've taken his bait. I'm done with that. Who's done with that? I wanna kick those baits over. I'm not gonna get offended. I'm not gonna stress out about this sermon. You're not gonna have this. I'm gonna turn to Jesus. I'm gonna come to Jesus. Whew. I'm gonna have my come to Jesus moment. Lord, help me land the plane. So I believe everything I'm saying today could be summed up one way, and I pray that this would help you remember everything. This is why I preach a one-point sermon, not just because it's what preachers tell you to do. It's because I want you to remember one thing, and through that, the Holy Spirit can remind you of everything. You can hang everything on one, what's it called above your furnace? Or your mantle, one mantle. We need to learn to walk, to work smarter, not harder, God's way. And I think the essence of everything I'm saying is this. Because you living with that mild form of oppression is working harder. And you're weak and heavy laden. And I believe God, if not already, even just through the proclamation of the word and the renewal of the mind, is setting people free. I believe that. And we're going to have prayer in a little bit. I'm gonna lead us into that. Praise God. Where am I, Lord? Help me. All right, Jared, you came out the perfect time. Because, oh. Mrs. Honey. Mrs. Honey. Some of you got that. Yeah. Mrs. Honey. Here we go. Oh, help me. Help me lay out the plan. You lay out the plan, Lord. Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, ABC. How many love Jackson 5? And you don't need to play it, but if you want to. ABC, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. So simple like do, re, mi. ABC, 1, 2, 3, baby, you and me. That was my worship audition. I'm joining next week. Just kidding, that's a joke. Okay, but who needs it simple? I need it simple. I can be stubborn and complicate, revelatory, you know? Let's make it simple, that a five-year-old could understand it. A, what's the A? Everyone say, give me an A.
A.
Approach him. If you feel oppressed in any way, this is really complicated, approach him. Him, I mean him. Approach him. But there's a little caveat to that. Approach him with the possibility you may be wrong. So I'm not just saying approach him. Things are going to go a lot better if you're open to the fact that you might be completely doing things the wrong way, seeing the wrong way. Everyone say, give me a B. Be humble. Take my yoke upon you. I had a caveat. The Lord gave me a caveat for the first one. There's a caveat for this one. You're like, I could be humble. I'm humble and proud of it. I'm the humblest guy I know. Come on, dude, I'm like the humblest guy I know. No one is humbler than me. Come on. I go low. No, be humble by being correctable. If you're not correctable, you're not humble. Or you need to grow in humility. And I've spent a lot of my life not being correctable. Be humble. Number three, everyone say, give me a C.
C.
Commit to obey, because when you're humble is when you can receive his correction, but also his solution, his provision. I'm correcting you, son, because when you prep for sermons, you partner with anxiety. Guess what? I have peace for you. But now I need to commit to obey that peace, or the circuit isn't closed. You just got A, B, and you can't sing the song. A, B, C. You can't finish it because you haven't committed to obey. There's no blessing without obedience. You can get all the wisdom in the world. You can have the greatest prophetic word. You don't obey, nothing. Now, I'm not saying the moment wasn't of the Spirit. I'm saying you haven't redeemed time. You haven't allowed the Lord to redeem time if you don't obey the prophetic word. Okay. I started off with the whole story with my wife. There's a good ending to that. Praise God. Don't you love good endings? That was a month ago. And this time, you know, the whole thing with Jamie, Pastor Jamie, now before I march across the sanctuary, I might just talk with Brianna. I'm learning here. I said, I might not get ticked with her on a Saturday. I'm going to approach her on a Tuesday. Follow me. Past Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, kids are down. Honey, would you pray for me for my sermon? I mean, she's been doing prophetic art. It's like, I know there's fire on this woman. I have a sage in my house. So I ask her to pray, and she's like, I don't even need to pray. I just got an image. I'm like, okay, tell me. This is what she told me. I see a garden like April or May, and that's your heart. And the seed won't blossom in spring unless in March or April you prepare the soil. She said, stop focusing on your sermon and all the pressure of what the topic is, what the scripture is. Get your eyes off it. I'm adding a little. She was a lot gentler. She was, I don't know why I'm adding all that, but. She did not do that. Anyone grow up in the 90s when the girls used to do that? I had a girl in Jersey who was like, talk to the hand because the face don't understand. That was the same girl who beat me up. And I am not joking right now. She did a combo. She chased me down right after lunch. And she went, boom, 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 hit me six times, boom, in like 4 seconds. Not even a half a second. Anyway, I am distracted here. So she, my wife, help me, Lord, was talking about this vision. And she said, get your eyes off it and just tend your soil. And if it takes you till Saturday till the soil's right, then that's when you'll get the sermon and the seed will go in and it'll sprout. How many love prophetic Jesus-loving wives? Can I tell you, I received the word and I said, I'm done thinking of this sermon because I had it for 2 days and was blocked, constipated. Ugh. Guys, mentally. So I get, we call it the apparatus in our house. It's my CPAP machine. It's the apparatus, coined by her. And the first time she said it, I couldn't stop laughing. I said, I'm going to choke. Please stop making me laugh. I am all sealed up here. I have the full face mask, you know? I look like Darth Vader. So I have it. I put my CPAP on. Got the little air blowing the water. All good. Wake up at 6 o'clock. Literally, didn't set my alarm. 6 o'clock. That was Wednesday morning. By 6:02, everything I preached today was the faucet open. I could not keep up with the Lord. I'm running. I'm like, where's my pad? I know I need to get washed for the day and eat some breakfast, but where's my pad? And I'm writing down notes and notes and notes and notes. This is what Jesus, the wisdom of God, can do. Can I tell you, I already know next time I preach, there's an oppression I don't need to partner with, but I just need to till the heart of my soul. Now, I knew that. The Lord had been telling me that, but I wasn't ready to be corrected. You can have a word for decades, but until you approach him, admitting you're wrong, you're humble, meaning he can correct you, then you receive the exchange and commit to obey. The Lord says, I gave you this download for the sermon quicker than you ever did on a Wednesday. I've never gotten most of the sermon on a Wednesday ever in 11 years. It's because you received the seed with a good heart. Praise God. Praise God. Let's end here. Let's stand here. Let's stand here today. Yes, Lord. And so how do we respond? I'm not going to have people come up to the front because I actually believe I believe the altar would be flooded. And I don't say that in a weird way. I say it's because I believe this applies to everyone. And that's what he showed me, is that if you have 1% of 1% of oppression or 50% oppression where there's a heavy yoke, for me, it was sermon prep that had, and again, I pray in the spirit. I talk with the Lord. I have a lot of freedom in that, but I didn't have 100% freedom. What is that? Is that with your business? Is that with your wife, your spouse? Are there any areas when your car has problems, you freak out? You know? Ask the Holy Spirit, where does this apply to me? I don't want you to just hear a good sermon. I want what Jesus wants. What he wants is the oppressed set free today. And for them to begin to redeem time and walk in his wisdom. And praise him for it. I have a testimony now. I have a testimony that he freed me of that oppression that would sometimes hinder this sermon prepping process. That's my breakthrough. What's your breakthrough going to be? So even right now, I feel like just as you remain standing, and if you're not able to stand, that's okay, but just let's just close our eyes right now. Jesus, right now we approach you. We come to you knowing we might be wrong in that area. And I want you to actually do this. Jesus, I just pray you'd help every person. Maybe they've done it already. You told them something 20 minutes ago. And so, Jesus, we just approach you. And I'm approaching him right now for one of those areas he popped in while I was preaching. And say, Lord, how am I wrong in this area? Again, he doesn't condemn, he convicts. If he condemns, you say, shut up to that voice. He convicts. Yep. Are you seeing? Is he pointing out what you're doing wrong? Again, that's freedom and conviction. It's love. That's not him with the stick. Yeah, Lord, I thank you. You're showing me right now the source of why I do that. You know what that thing is. And now I say, Lord, would you correct the behavior? Ask him, say, would you correct it? What do I need? I want to be humble and take your yoke upon me in that area. And now he might give you a vision like he gave my wife. He might speak something to your spirit right now. Be open right now. Don't move on from this moment thinking about lunch or whatever. This is you and Jesus time. Be humble and receive his correction, his solution, the revelation of who he wants to be in this area. I'm seeing the solution for me. Are you seeing? I really am. I'm speaking in truth. I'm seeing the solution and what character trait of the Spirit he wants to fill in that area. I'm seeing it. I'm hearing him speak. This is for you. And now I'm going to commit to obey the solution. And so, Lord, I commit to obey the solution and that there's resource as I obey. That there's power as I obey. That there's blessing as I obey. I commit to obey what you just showed me. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And you can do these ABCs anytime you want. I tell you, if you begin to let Jesus come to him in this way, you will advance in him. You will know him in areas of your life you never knew him, or you didn't know him to the degree you knew you could know him because you were partnered with some form of oppression and disobedience. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to ask the altar team to come up right now. And the invitation is, we have a prayer, sorry, the prayer team, not altar team. Yes, altar team. Come up. Thank you. I was in the prayer room and I feel the fire of God on this team. And so if you just interacted with the Lord and you know what it is, then go in peace. Have a great week. But if you need help and you're like, I feel oppressed and it's stronger than 1% of 1%. I heard today, some of you are going to get delivered. And there's no shame in that. There's freedom in that. Jesus is still the deliverer. Amen? He's still the deliverer. And so, come on up. My wife and I are going to be praying. The team's going to be praying. And I just want to close with a blessing. You guys, who wants to receive a blessing today? Not through me, but through the Lord. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power over you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Did Jesus speak to you today? Did he reveal something? Well, let's give him praise one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Yeah, praise God.